After that, it was mostly a case of clearing up. Much of the mission would have to be rebuilt, but this time, the jungle would help. Once again, bodies had to be cleared up and identified, and St. Bee worked long hours in her infirmary, tending the sick. And if sometimes she laid her hands on a helpless case and whispered a quiet prayer, who could blame her? Especially when so many of them lived. Owen Deathstalker woke up in the infirmary, astonished to be alive. Bonnie and Midnight lay in beds on either side of him, and Hazel took it in turns to sit with each of them. The link with the Red Brain and its immense mental strength had saved them, pulling them back from the brink one more time. They were all still weak as half-drowned kittens, but strength was coming slowly back to them, which was just as well. Hazel meant well, but she was bloody useless as a nurse. She just didn't have the temperament. They all complained a lot and made a nuisance of themselves, and by the evening, Sister Marion said they were all well enough, and would they please oblige her by getting the hell out of her infirmary so the rest of the patients could get some peace? Owen and Hazel walked slowly across the uneven ground of the compound. The bodies were all gone, but the place itself was still a mess. They took it in turns to lean on each other, their inner energies at an all-time low. For the time being, they were only human again, and they made the most of it. Everywhere they went, the lepers bowed and saluted and called out their names like prayers or hymns. Owen and Hazel smiled uncomfortably back, noting that for all their fervor, the lepers maintained a careful distance. Living legends were one thing, living gods were quite another. Tobias Moon came to meet them. His eyes no longer glowed. He was moving beyond such things as the maze continued to work its changes in him. There was a new serenity to him, a calmness in himself, as though many things had at last become clear to him.
I am not going with you when you leave. I'm staying. The people here will need a lot of help rebuilding their mission and their lives, and I think I could be of use. Until the Espers learn how, I will be their contact with the Red Brain.
He shook his head slowly.
That was the most fascinating experience of my life. It's been alone so long, just like me. The only one of its kind. And the lepers. Perhaps it took the dying to teach me the meaning and value of life. Anyway, I'm staying. To guard the lepers and be the voice of the jungle.
Never really thought of you as a gardener, Moon.
Moon was still working on humor. Owen and Hazel walked on. Bonnie and Midnight were overseeing repairs on the other side of the compound, but they waved a hand in greeting. Owen and Hazel waved back. All was peaceful and serene, like the quiet after the storm has passed.
Well, we won another one.
Yeah, came bloody close to losing it, though. If Moon hadn't come through at the last minute, we could have died here. I really thought I'd lost you.
A salutary reminder that even we have limits. But for all we can do, we're still bound by merely human limitations. In a strange way, I find that comforting. That for all our powers and abilities, we haven't left humanity behind.
I didn't find nearly bloody dying at all comforting. And let's hope the jungle didn't miss any Grendels. I couldn't steal candy from a baby in my current condition. And that was always one of my best tricks.
Our strength will return, eventually. It always has before.
He stopped and looked about him, lost for a moment in memories.
So many died here. I wish we could have saved more.
William Hand and Otto. Sister Kathleen. They didn't have our powers, but they did just as much to save the mission as we did. They were the real heroes here.
Of course. They were all heroes here. The living and the fallen. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got an appointment in the communications center. They're trying to get a ship for us so we can get off planet. Lacrimae Christi may be safe now, but the rest of the Empire is still in deep trouble.
Now that is typical of you, Deathstalker. You've barely gotten over nearly dying twice, and already you're talking about charging back into battle again. Aren't we entitled to some time off?
Sure, when the war's over.
But wars are never over, not for us.
Owen put his hands on her shoulders and kissed her.
You'd be bored in a week. And you know it.
Maybe. I really thought I'd lost you, Owen. Don't you ever do that again.
Never. We're a team. Nothing's ever going to separate us.
Promise me we'll always be together. Forever.
forever and ever. Even death can't part us now. He kissed her again and moved off toward the communication center. Hazel watched him go for a while and then turned away and looked out over the compound. People were slowly filling in the deep gashes and craters in the ground. The outer wall was being raised again, section by section. The battle was over, and life went on. Hazel felt strangely left out. Maybe Owen was right, that all they knew how to be was warriors.
Hazel!
She looked around, and there was Owen, leaning against the side of a hut. He looked like hell, deathly tired, face gaunt, his clothes stained and bloodied. It took a moment for Hazel to realize that it wasn't the gray clothing of the lepers. It was the same clothes Owen had been wearing when he appeared out of nowhere to save her life on Viramond. He was looking at her with such loss and longing, and he held out a hand to her, as though trying to warn her of something. She started towards him, and a sudden horror filled his face. She took another step, and a silver, shimmering energy field appeared around her, pinning her to the spot. She beat on the energy field with her fists, and it spat static, but the field didn't weaken at all, and she had no power left to break it.
Owen! Help me!
But Owen was gone. Owen Deathstalker came running out of the communication center. He'd heard her call his name, even from so far away. He saw her standing trapped in the shimmering energy field and recognized it immediately. The Bloodrunners of the Obia systems had used it once before to try and kidnap Hazel, claiming she owed them her body for experiments to pay off a debt incurred by her captain back when she was still a clone legger. Owen had saved her then by breaking the field, but now he didn't have the power. He ran towards her, pulling the disruptor from his holster. Hazel was still struggling inside the field, but her image was growing fainter as the field disappeared, taking her with it. Bonnie Bedlam and Midnight Blue were making their way across the compound too, heading for the shimmering field. Strange figures appeared around the silver energy. Tall and willowy, albinos with milk-white hair and blood-red eyes. They wore long robes of swirling colors, their faces ritually scarred in vicious patterns. Bloodrunners. Then they disappeared, taking the energy field and Hazel with them.
Hazel!
Owen stumbled to a halt, looking at the empty place where Hazel had been, and looked around to see that Bonnie and Midnight had disappeared too. Without Hazel to maintain their presence, they couldn't stay. They no longer had anything to link them to this universe. Owen felt numb, paralyzed with shock. Hazel was gone. In the hands of torturers, and he had no way to reach her. He had no idea where they'd taken her. She could be anywhere in the Obia systems. And he didn't even have a ship to get him off the planet. He'd never felt so helpless. Owen Deathstalker, the conqueror of armies and toppler of empires, and he couldn't even save the one he loved.
Hang in there, Hazel. I'm coming for you. Somehow I'll find you, whatever it takes. And if they've hurt you, I'll drown the whole Obia system in blood.
Owen Deathstalker will return one last time in Deathstalker Destiny. Deathstalker Honor, The Red Brain, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, with Nanette Savard, David Coyne, Anne Flosnick, Colleen Delaney, Ken Jackson, Nick Sampson, and Karen Carbone. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing by Chris Rowan and Nathan DeBoard. Graphic audio sound design and additional original music by Dan Smith. The Deathstalker theme was composed by Norman Vanderslice. If you enjoyed Deathstalker Honor, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.cuttingaudio.com. Keep listening for special previews of other graphic audio titles.
Next time in Deathstalker Destiny. The Bloodrunners are an ancient culture, a separate branch of humanity. Possessors of occult knowledge and power,
Isolated by their own choosing in the forbidden Obia system, they conduct horrific experiments exploring the nature of suffering, death, and immortality. And the person Owen Deathstalker cares for most has fallen into their aberrant clutches.
Even if you find where the Bloodrunners took her, there may be nothing left for you to do.
There's always revenge.
But Owen's Madness Maze given powers appear to have abandoned him after the exhausting battle of Lacrimae Christi.
Now, Captain, I am commandeering your ship. Feel free to protest as loudly as you want. It will make a blind bit of difference.
In a stolen starship, the Deathstalker races against time on a desperate mission that is equal parts rescue and suicide.
We are more powerful than your worst nightmares, Deathstalker. This is our seat of power, and you should not have come here.
Deathstalker Destiny, Episode 1, Blood Debt.
The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Deathlands Number 15, Chill Factor. Ryan Cotter and his band of Outlanders have finally found a safe haven in New Mexico, until the unthinkable happens.
Ryan, Dean, been kidnapped.
What? When did it happen? Who took him?
Yesterday. Slavers from the north, and their leader, Ryan. It was Zimyanyan.
Zimyanyan?
Now, Ryan must venture alone into a freezing wasteland to find his son, while being pursued by a pre-dark technological nightmare.
Fucking bastard Sectroid! You won't take me down! He's impervious to bullets!
And all the while, Dean Cotter must endure the harsh reality of slave labor without revealing himself to the sadistic Grigori Zimyanyan.
Why do I have the sense of something hidden about you, young man?
I don't know.
I look at you and my memory stirs. Why is that?
I said I don't know!
Watch yourself, boy. There are many here that would spread your lower limbs and attempt to penetrate your young body. I can do little to prevent it.
Ryan must go undercover as one of Zimyanyan's slaves in order to save the newest member of his family.
You there! What happened to your eye?
Injured in a rock fall, Major Commissar. I'll wash it and put a rag over it, and I'll be fine.
And when Zimyanyan finally discovers the truth, it remains to be seen whether Ryan and Dean will be able to escape his clutches.
You, boy, with your curly brown hair. The man with the eye wound. His left eye. Of course.
My father will kill you for kidnapping me, Major.
Not if I kill him first. I want to rip out his heart and devour it, so bitter is my hatred for him, Master Cotter. And now he is coming for you. I will use you as bait to capture him.
Deathlands Number 15, Chill Factor. 7 unabridged hours in Graphic Audio. Over the skies of Tibet streaks the cutting edge in American technology.
My God, what a plane!
The new ES-1 spy plane, the best America has to offer.
Enjoying the flight there, Jack?
You would not believe how this baby handles.
The envy of the world.
Well, what do you see?
And a target for America's enemies.
Oh my God.
What is it, Jack?
MiGs.
Jack, what is it? Jack?
Mayday! Mayday! Mayday!
Jack!
Barbara, what is it?
I think Jack is dead. His plane has gone down somewhere in Tibet.
I don't believe it.
There were MiGs, Stryker. I'm afraid he's lost.
I don't care. I'm going in.
MacPolin number 89. Strike and retrieve.
Thank you.
Ryan Cotter has fought his way through hell, a terrain that covers far too much of the Deathlands. With his son Dean at his side, he finds himself close to a safe haven for friends and comrades that has been burned to the ground. Hurried notes from his beloved Christy guide the way to answers, but the solution and his missing friends will only lead to more peril at the hands of someone Ryan should have killed when he had the chance. Ryan must free himself from the clutches of a mutant who's as clever as he is sadistic, and wants Carter's blood by the gallons.
My people follow me, long as I chill norms. More norms I chill, more they think I'm close to a god. You'll go out with a big bang, Carter. That I promise you. Real big bang.
You murderous freak bastard.
As good as Ryan Carter is, he's still only human. And one of his closest allies may pay for his shortcomings with his life.
Oh, Christ, Jack. No.
I'll never forgive that one-eyed bastard if anything's happened to Jack. I swear it.
New friendships are made, old allies are rediscovered, and fresh hatred is forged in the Deathlands. Don't miss 1 minute of Deathlands number 16, Moon Fate. Evil finds new allies in the form of the Al-Jabbar, a terrorist cell that has never failed to eliminate exactly who they were aiming for, until they met Mac Bolan. This brotherhood of religious zealots will take any action, assault any stronghold, murder any dignitary in the name of attacking America. The only thing that equals their depravity is their hatred. Is the soldier up to the challenge? Especially when the hunt for evil leads him to American soil?
Spotted.
They're members of the Al-Jabbar.
Those devils? I have heard of them. What on earth were they doing in Greece?
They tried to assassinate the American vice president. The Al-Jabbar just became my number one priority.
Mac Bolan, independent agent for Stony Man Farm, stands between a madman and the end of life as we know it. The head of the Viper, Abbas Saban, will stop at nothing to see his twisted dreams come true.
You're not gonna hurt me, are you?
Of course not. Since when do we kill journalists? All we want is information.
The executioner will hunt his prey over land, sea, and air, even through the heart of a den of pure bloodthirst, an entire city of cold-blooded killers.
God. Damn it!
Mac Bolan number 90, Age of War.
Mac Bolan 90, Age of War, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting July 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of Age of War.
Don't waste time searching the stores for the next installment of your favorite series or stories you've missed. Call 1-800-670-5220 and order direct in CD, cassette, or MP3 CD formats. Or plug into Graphic Audio's website, where you can order it in those formats. Or, for accelerated gratification, download it right now for your computer or digital player. It'll be online before anywhere else. You'll also get free screensavers, ringtones, games, and other goodies. www.cuttingaudio.com and 1-800-670-5220.